Montag, lieben Klausen Globen.
For white guy. Yo, what's up, you guys? This is Pauly Shore, and welcome to another beautiful episode of my podcast show entitled The What?
The Pauly Shore Podcast Show.
The Pauly Shore. Hannah, do you remember the title of the show?
Or? No, I did.
Well, then speak into the mic, dude. You guys can both do it.
I stole the mic from her.
Yeah, oh, you did. Yeah. Shit. I'm talking to you guys because what happened to my co-host?
Never showed up.
Matt Edgar, who's from Orange County, was supposed to be my co-host. He's a comedian. He's supposed to be sitting right here. I don't know if you guys see that there's no one sitting right here. And the reason why I wanted Matt Edgar to host this particular episode with me is because why?
Because he's from Orange County as well. And he loves The Offspring.
You didn't know that, Hannah, or what? You didn't know that was the theme?
Yeah, I knew.
You did?
The Offspring is from Orange County.
They
that's
are?
Where they met. Yeah, that's where they formed.
Whoa.
You I got knew all- it.
She got all, so our guest on today's show is Dexter and Noodles from the band Offspring. Woo! Yeah, let me hear somebody noise. The Offspring, Keep Them Separated. Play some of the songs. What are some of the songs, Ari?
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Or... Jesus Christ.
I know them. I just don't know the names. I know all their songs. I love The Offspring. I just don't remember all the names.
And then we also have Sunny Suicide, who's one of the Suicide Girls. And what's the Suicide Girl? Are you masturbated?
Suicide Girls, I've masturbated to them quite frequently.
Right.
They are an alternative nude modeling site, basically. So it's kind of like Playboy, but it's not what your mom would think of as a beautiful girl, but
right,
kind of this newer generation of tattoos and piercings.
Right, and they don't commit suicide.
No,
it's like
no.
an attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're at the Roxy on Sunset Strip, which is kind of the rock and roll kind of mecca of the Sunset Strip. It's where all the bands started, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this episode from the podcast because the Offspring started here. I wouldn't say started here, but they played here a lot. I actually played here as well. You guys want to ask me about that? Or you don't really care.
Did you? Yeah. So was this at the peak of MTV when you played here?
Smiling about what's up?
Yo. Did you play here as the Weasel?
No,
during MTV?
She's gonna say something. What are you gonna? No, anything no, I you, say, you're gonna say.
Well, you should have just gone into it.
Yeah, but it's better if you interview me because I don't have a co-host with me.
Okay, well, wow, that's amazing. Like, what happened? Like, what did you do?
Okay, I'll tell you. No, fuck it. I know you don't want to hear it.
No, I want to hear it.
I actually got discovered here at the Roxy. I was doing my stand-up comedy in front of a band. I forgot what the band was. And a guy named Jerry Greenberg discovered me. He was the head of CBS Records at the time, and I signed a deal here, and I performed here. I did 3 nights. I grew up here on the Sunset Strip, and I did 3 nights. The Spin Doctors opened for me back in the 90s, and so the Roxy has been a very, very dear place to me. I saw Billy Idol here. I saw the Untouchables. I saw so many great bands. Hannah, you know about Billy Idol? White Wedding?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I saw the Wedding Singer. So
no, it's not. Oh yeah, from the Wedding Singer. And so this is the Roxy. I want to thank Nick Adler and Cisco for letting us record here. And we're at the beautiful Roxy on Sunset Strip. Coming up next, we're going to have Dexter from the Offspring, Noodles from the Offspring, and then later on Sunny from the Suicide Girls. That's going to be on the show. So we'll be back, you guys, with Dexter and Noodles from the beautiful band The Offspring here at the Roxy on Sunset Boulevard. You know, when we first started talking about you going on the podcast, it was just you.
That's right.
And then you started throwing, like, you got Larry here, you got Like, are you scared? Like, I'm gonna like speak up, dude. You don't trust me, bro. What the fuck?
I don't know what to do.
He's posse.
He travels with Paul.
His entourage. You know.
I don't know if it's that. I think he thinks like I'm up to something. I think he's like, what the fuck's he like? You know, his manager's here. Noodles is here. Top Ramen. Right.
That's right.
So, did you think like I was gonna try to pull something?
No, I like having Noodles with me. Noodles is my bud.
I'm his foil.
This is foil, right?
We do a lot of interviews together, and I like having him to riff off of and stuff. I wasn't sure how good you were going to be, and if there was some dead air.
This
is
an interview. This is just me touching your penis for an hour. No, I'm just kidding. No, before we get started into, you know, your guys' past and, you know, and everything that's been going on, you know, for the last 20-something years, we've been bumping into each other recently at the Jews call it the Schwitz.
Schwitz, right.
So explain what that is.
Right.
For the people listening.
It's the city.
No, don't say where it is.
It's that place, the Korean place. No, I'm just kidding.
For real, tell people what it is and why you like to go there. And have you taken Noodles?
No. I've never been. I do know about it.
So tell us about it.
It's a sauna. Technically, it's a Russian banya, right?
Which
is a different kind of sauna or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we started touring, well, it's been forever now, so many years ago, and people would always say, well, why don't you just go in the sauna in the hotel? That's how I first started going, because I never even thought of it before. And I started kind of getting into it, like, oh, yeah, this is really nice. I like it. So you'd look for different places on the road, and I found this great place in New York called 10th Street, whatever it
10th
is.
10th Street Bathhouse, yeah.
Yeah.
So, they have my picture on the wall there.
Do they?
I go there all the time. It's awesome.
I've never seen your picture there.
It's yeah.
So you're a connoisseur as well.
I go more than him.
Schwitz's.
I go more than him. But we want the people that are listening. We want them to experience it as well because I want I want you to tell them how important it is. I mean, you look awesome.
Thanks. Yeah.
You know, and that he looks a little thrash.
I'm a little hungover today, and I don't do the Schwitz often enough.
You don't do the Schwitz, no.
Yeah.
But you know, me and Dexter, we look good, bro. We're almost 60.
Dude, your skin, right?
It's good for you.
So tell us about it for real, without being. Because you get older, you want to take care of yourself.
I guess.
So tell us what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
And why
it
you
just,
go.
I know.
It's a steam room. It's a big steam room with jacuzzis and showers and different things.
Yeah.
So you go in.
You go in and you sweat a lot. I don't know. Your heart gets pumping. And if you're not feeling good, you feel better. If you're hungover, you sweat it all out for sure. And you feel great after you go. And people say it's scientific, and I can't find any scientific proof, but I think it's got to be. Good for you.
Yeah.
It's just, I know when people say, oh, go to the Russian bathhouse, it has a weird connotation, right? It's like people think it's a gay thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not like that at all. This places I go are usually co-ed. And
if you want it to be like that, can it be like that?
Oh, it can definitely be like that, I think, right?
No, but depending on the place you go. You tell your friends and you say, hey, they're like, let's hang out. And you're like, I can't. I'm going to the Russian bathhouse.
Right.
And they look at you like you're fucking crazy.
What's going on? Yeah.
Like you're getting jerked off or something, but it's not like that.
It's not. It's totally not like that. It's, you want more. I don't know.
No, it's cool.
Well,
because I see you there, you're like, you know, we look at each other and we're like, dude, this is awesome. We're like, there's
but
this
who
bond.
Else does
like,
this?
Yeah.
I should know it would be Pauly Shore showing up, right? Yeah. Of course.
It's great. So, yeah, anyone out there listening, if you're into health and you're into taking care of yourself, the generic version is a sauna or a steam room, you know, which Dexter's a connoisseur. You go to the one. Have you been to the one in Miami?
Yeah. Yeah, that
sick,
one's great.
Right?
That one's really good, yeah.
At the Castle Hotel.
That one's hot.
Dude, it's great, but it's got the saltwater jacuzzi.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that one's got, it's a maze of different things. There's like a salt room, and they have a crystal room in there, right? The crystals are supposed to give you good energy and stuff, and it really is a health thing.
I'm really missing out.
Yeah.
Have you told Noodles about the Schwitz?
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't want to go?
No, I got them all to go.
But they weren't feeling it.
After the 10th Street stuff and all this, I just discovered the place in LA recently. Mm. But I got into it and I started checking it out in Finland. Like, that's the OG authentic place, right? And I found this place in Finland that is about as real as it gets. It's it's the Sauna Society. So you have to get invited. And somehow I pulled some strings and I took the band there one day last summer.
Last summer,
we all hung out.
Wow.
Yeah, we got to try
it. So there was like a whole, like out in Finland, there's like a legit
place. Member only kind of place. Yeah. And you know, I don't know how much sauna stuff you've done, but it's
there's like flies and shit in here from last night. What the fuck was that? Sorry. I got you see flies. Me get it though, right?
Yeah, I know, thank you. You're looking out for me, looking out for
Larry,
my health.
What'd you think that was? Did you see it? Larry, you can get on the mic too. Get close. Larry, please get on the fucking mic, bro. Did you see how I protected your client? That was
some Karate Kid type shit right there, man.
There's another one. Yeah. Fuck, there's bugs and shit left. I think Slash was here last night. They were doing some type of hair show or something.
I know. How'd you pull the strings to get in here? This is awesome.
Well, Nick, the owner, and Cisco and them, you know, I told him I was interviewing you, and I said I'd love to come in and do it here because this is one of the places that you started. But before we get into your relationship with the Roxy and the Sunset Strip, I remember when I first asked you to do Pauly Shore's Dead. Remember when we showed up?
Yeah.
We showed up at the small gas station, right? And we're doing the scene and everything's cool. And then tell us what happened there.
Cops show up?
Yeah. And that's we didn't have what?
A permit,
yeah,
right?
So tell us.
That's about all I remember, right? They showed up. They weren't happy about it. You had to talk them out of it or something.
Right.
And you did, I think. You did your
stuff. Yeah,
dude.
It was fucking harsh.
He was a fan. He was a fan of you.
It was harsh, dude. But we didn't, yeah, because when we did Pauly Shore's Dead, I shot with no permits. And we might be getting kicked out of the Roxy.
No, right.
I know I just, I know I said that Nick and Cisco let me be in here, but I could be just lying. I could have just jarred the door open and then clicked the lights up, clicked the lights. So, no, I want to thank Nick and Cisco, the owners of the Roxy, for letting us come in here. So, yeah, that was one of the first times that we kind of had some exchange.
That's
was
right.
When I asked you to be in Pauly Shore's Dead.
You asked me to be in the movie, and I was so stoked. And, you know, a lot of my friends are big fans of you, and I'm like, this is going to be great. And I shot this scene, and I'm not an actor, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't do a fantastic job, but I thought, well, he's getting a lot of non-actors, musicians and stuff in it. And so the next time I saw you, I'm like, oh, how'd it turn out? And you're like, dude, it's great, man, it's fucking so great. You're in like the extras. Like, I didn't make it in the movie.
Some people got cut out of the extras though, so that was cool.
So really, I did good, I guess.
Really,
right?
It's such an iconic scene.
Who's the jackass now, jackass?
Yeah,
yeah, that was me. I was improvising right there.
That was great.
Yeah, no, that was that had nothing to do with your performance. That had to do with pacing.
Oh,
you know what I mean. You have to get to the story. Unfortunately, when you do films. Kind of like the pacing of this podcast. It's just, it's very slow and drawn out. No, but when you do films, you got to get to the story. So, you know, one of the first things that I put together myself. So it took too long to find out until I tried to kill myself. And that was one of the scenes in the first act. And I had to kind of get to it. But you were great, and that was awesome. Yeah, that was fucking sick.
I'm glad we finally straightened this all out after this last 10 years. I've been bummed, thinking, you know, you didn't like what I did.
Yeah, no. It was fucking awesome.
I think my favorite part about that is while you're going to the extra to explain the scene that you do with Dexter, you're in bed with, I think, both the Hilton sisters, right? And you're trying to explain to them who Dexter is, and they have no clue.
That's right.
Hilarious.
No wonder. That's why I'm in the extras. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So once again, thanks for sitting down with us here at the beautiful Roxy on Sunset Strip. Without me speaking, I want you to you guys to inhale. Kind of, let's do a flashback and tell me about your experience and your feeling actually being in this dope ass fucking iconic room on the Sunset Strip.
That's right.
Tell us about it.
Great.
You know, tell us your stories.
Well, I think the first time I was here was to see X play here. And that was one of the few punk bands that ever got to play on the Sunset Strip back in the day. It was all, you know, hair metal bands, you know, and Gazaris. And remember the Gazaris ads?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If they ain't 60 guys, they ain't on my stage. I'm the godfather of rock.
Yeah, Gazaris.
That's right.
Yeah.
No one remembers the Gazaris.
God rest his soul.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but you know, punk bands, like I said, you know, weren't allowed to play here except for X. And, you know, every once in a while, somebody would get to play up here,
something like that.
But then we finally got to play here
eventually, right? And we hadn't really even played the Whiskey, I don't think, yet, but we got a couple shows here. Epitaph started doing some shows here, so we played.
What year was this?
In 92, I think, right?
92,
yeah, maybe. Yeah,
we put out our first real record on Epitaph. It was Ignition. That was 92. So
and that was your album.
Yeah.
And how? What was the hit song on that album?
Oh, no hit song.
There was no hit songs on that one.
They're all hits.
But you guys, but you went to USC. Did you go to USC?
Yeah, yeah.
And you went to...
Yeah, I worked. I was a janitor.
You're a janitor, right? Yeah. You were a janitor.
I was a janitor at Earl Warren Elementary School at that point.
Yeah. And where did you guys meet, though?
I was a head custodian. Credit where it's due.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But where did you guys meet?
We grew up like two blocks from each other.
In Orange County?
In Garden Grove, yeah.
Oh, I was in Boy Scouts with his brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, yeah, same neighborhood. Yeah.
Mm.
All four of us originally. Mm. And then we've had a couple different drummers, but three of us still.
So you guys played the Roxy a lot? Or a little?
Just a little. You know, and it wasn't until 92. Punk rock started morphing. It wasn't just, you know, guys with mohawks and skinheads. It was also, you know, snowboarders and skateboarders and, and surfers. Around 92, it started to get a little bit wider appeal. And around that time, I think, is when we first played, you know.
We were talking about a place on Sunset to hang out at, and this place is great, and it came to mind for sure, but... For us, being a punk band, it was really a scramble to find a place to play. There was no regular place you could go do Tuesday nights or whatever. So this was one of the places that we played the most, and it kind of came around and stuff. But it was...
But, yeah, but... So you guys did play here, though.
Oh, yeah,
you did do some shows here.
And,
so what was that like when you played the Roxy?
It was great, because Ignition had been out... It was right before Smash, which is the record that did something for us.
Okay, never mind.
So it's the police.
It's looking, management.
They're looking for the permit, I think.
That's Larry. Okay, Larry's taking care of it. Okay, so but you played here when Ignition came out.
Yeah, and things were starting to go really good. And I remember the show; it was packed.
Did we play with NoFX?
It was either NoFX or Rancid.
Okay. Mm.
And
because when people like when I think of Offspring, I don't think punk rock. I think like hits, and I don't think like there's no punk rock bands that have hits, but if you just think punk rock, you don't think like, oh, that song. But you guys are, I don't want to say, you guys are just mainstream. Like, you guys got so many hits.
Right on.
But that's not really.
That was 94.
You guys started off as kind of punk rock, and then did you get a producer that all of a sudden got to you guys that made your stuff a little bit more mainstream? Kind of like how they did with... Didn't Rick Rubin do that with the Chili Peppers? Who started producing the Chili Peppers when their stuff started becoming more hits? Because I know the Chili Peppers were very kind of crazy punk rock. They didn't really have any kind of structure. And then all of a sudden they got, I think it was with Rick Rubin, I'm not quite sure.
Did he do, it was Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
For really sure.
Yeah, that got him more mainstream.
Was that Rick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was there a producer that took you guys from punk rock into more mainstream stuff?
Really, we worked with Tom on our first three records, Tom Wilson.
For sure. But Tom was a big punk producer. He had done the Dead Kennedys and stuff. But he was just trying to get us to play better. So I guess he did, help us, right?
It's a struggle.
But I remember our audience being full-on crusty punkers at first, and then all of a sudden it became skaters and surfers, and then it became more regular kids.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So you guys met, and what year did you guys meet? Tell me the other name of the other members of your band, because I know I met them before, but...
Well, right now it's Pete on drums, and Greg Kay is our bass player.
Right.
And we would always play at Greg Kay's mom's house. And just drink Friday and Saturday nights. We'd go and we'd play.
Set up in the living room.
Game, and then we'd drink.
Because I know, I saw I think it was the Tom Petty documentary. Did you guys see the Tom Petty 4-hour documentary about how Tom Petty's band came about? It was almost like Tom Petty was like his own little thing, and then all of a sudden the guitar player just showed up, and then Tom's like, all right, you're the fucking guitar player. And then he was supposed to go to college or something.
Right.
Is that how you guys met? It's like you were just fucking around. All of a sudden he walked in the living room. You're like, okay, you're the guitar player, right? You're bass or guitar?
Guitar.
Guitar, right.
Yeah. You guys decided to start the band. It was an idea. Nobody played anything.
Yeah, we actually started the band not playing instruments.
Yeah.
Okay. We just decided to be
a
band.
Just acapella?
For guys.
No, we picked instruments. We decided I'll be a guitar guy or I'll be the drummer or whatever, but we didn't actually play anything.
And what year was this?
It was 84.
84.
Yeah. So we had to buy instruments and learn how to play them. That was a little hurdle to get where we want to go. So it took us 10 years to figure that out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was so you guys got together and you guys didn't even have instruments. You're like, oh, we're just a band.
Well, I was playing in I had played guitar for a couple of years at that point.
Okay.
And I was playing in another band with our drummer, the first drummer, James.
Mm-hmm.
We called ourselves Clowns of Death, and we sucked. And we stole that name from Oingo Boingo. Oingo Boingo would play under the name Clowns of Death every once in a while. And so we stole the name from them. And I played with James, and then and in that band, Dexter sat in once in my parents' living room. And that was the first time we played as like a whole band. Mm. Greg wasn't with us yet.
No.
You know, so then Dexter was playing with James and Greg, and you ended up playing guitar and singing and wanted to fill it out a little bit more, some of the songs, add another guitar. And so that's when he asked me to join. And
we stole noodles from the Clowns of Death.
Wow. That's how and how do you guys wind up keeping it together? Because I know I'm a stand-up comic, and I can't break up with myself. But you hear so many bands. No, it's so awesome that you guys are still, like, through all the bullshit, you guys still fucking hanging in there and out there. Like, what do you think it is?
I think we love doing what we do. You know, for 10 years, it was a hobby. It wasn't, we weren't making any money. You know,
anyone doing, like, bad drugs that all of a sudden the band had to, like, take care of someone and stick them in rehab type shit or no?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Working on it.
Yeah. No, but you know how you always hear every band has got that one guy that, you know, like Joe Walsh and the Eagles. He was the guy that, like, people... Did you see that, Doc? The Eagles?
No,
doc? That's fucking insane.
It. Yeah,
history of the Eagles.
Really cool.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
How fucked up was Joe Walsh?
I love
he was
it.
Insane.
He goes, I just wanted to see how far I could take it. Isn't that great? Wow. Great thing to say about alcohol.
That's bad.
So there was not ever... ever a time where you go, oh, we got to take care of him, and you know, and it's all the original members now.
No, we've been through different drummers.
Three of the four.
Yeah, James was
three of the four. Okay, yeah. Like I said, there's always one guy. What happened to the drummer guy? Who was the original drummer?
James was the original drummer, and then it was Ron Welty, and he was with us for. Like 15 years?
James wanted to go to medical school. That's why he didn't work out.
Yeah.
So we got Ron.
Did he go to medical school?
He did, yeah.
Yo, James, what's up, bro? I need a new nose implant. Can you help me out?
He operates on women's cancers now. So
funny subject. No.
He's pretty gnarly, yeah.
So the first guy, what about the first guy?
So then we got Ron. That was probably around 86, 87. We got
Ron
with us, and he was... with us for a while. He was, you know, through the you know, band blowing up with Smash and everything in the 90s. And then it was just, you know, he was kind of going in a different direction from the rest of us. And so we parted ways about 12
years
ago.
So there's no crazy drug thing?
No.
You guys must have done drugs.
We drink a lot.
Do you still drink a lot?
I do. I'm hungover right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Hangovers last longer when you get older.
Yeah, you know what? I quit smoking recently, about a year and a half ago, quit smoking cigarettes. And so hangovers are not nearly as bad as when I was smoking and drinking. It was way worse.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, congratulations, because then if something bad happens, you can go see the doctor drummer guy, and he can help you with the cigarette thing.
That's right. When I have cancer.
That's good. So you guys have been together. You guys are still playing your hits. You're still touring. Have you guys? What's going on this summer?
What's going on? We're touring.
Yeah.
We tour. We try to get out as much as we can. We just put out a single. It's called Coming For You, and it's getting played on the radio.
That's
we got
sick.
Video. You can check it all out. We're going to Europe in August. We're doing stuff in the U.S. throughout June and July, and we're just keeping it going.
And then if I want to come down, I can come and watch you from. But I want to, Lara. I want to sit on the sides. Can I sit on the sides?
You got MC, Polly.
The what?
You got MC.
They're not going to want me to MC. I'm not even going to ask that.
Would you do the Keep 'Em Separated line again?
I would do anything you guys want me to do, as long as I'm in town and you guys let me come to the show. I'll do
absolutely,
whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't want to sit. I want to sit on the side.
For sure. That's the best spot.
Yeah, I want to sit on the side.
People don't know that.
Thank you guys for sitting in with me. Dexter, I'll see you at the Schwitz.
See you at the Schwitz.
Bring noodles to the Schwitz.
I'm coming.
Have you been to the Schwitz?
Not here, no.
You haven't been to
there? No, I've done a couple of different... Dexter used to have one in a sauna in his backyard, and we'd do sauna Sundays.
Yeah.
I did that a couple times, and I did the one in Finland, but I haven't done the one in L.A.
And you're not going to do any songs before we go? One little verse, baby verse, something?
Of REM songs?
No. Okay, REM something. No?
Anything come to mind?
You guys play them every night.
The Man in the Moon. How does The Man in the Moon go?
Yeah. I saw that movie the other night.
All right, well, that's it, you guys. please follow Offspring on their, what's your, all your social media stuff?
Offspring.com.
Offspring.com.
I'm at The Nudes, at The Nudes, G-N-U-D-Z.
That's right. He's funny.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
You gotta keep them separated.
So, what do you think?
That was a really cool interview. I learned a lot about not only their upcoming, how they came up as a band, but Dexter as a person, his hobbies and stuff, and he's a really smart guy.
Well, I know. I think it's cool that he like just wants to do something, so he just like does it. Like they had a band, and then they learned how to play. He like wanted to fly flies, so he just learned how to do it. And then he has that like hot sauce, so he just like made one. He just like wants something. And
oh
then does
shit!
It.
I forgot to ask him about the hot sauce.
And now he's studying molecular biology, PhD. He's getting a PhD in molecular biology.
Yeah. It's but I want to thank Dexter. I want to thank Noodles and his manager Larry for letting him sit in with us here at the Roxy. So give it up for them. That's cool. Thank you, guys. And coming up next, we got one of the Suicide Girls, Sunny Suicide. I'm not too familiar with the Suicide Girls. Ari, are you?
Well, she's a nude model and a burlesque dancer. She's really beautiful, and she's a big fan of Pauly Shore, so I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
That's nice. Well, who's not?
Exactly.
Exactly. Who's not? Anyways, coming up next, Sunny Suicide from the Suicide Girls. We'll be right back. Thanks.
My friend's got a girlfriend, and he hates that bitch. He tells me every day. He says, man, I really gotta lose my chick in the worst kind of way. She sits on her ass, he works his hands.
Hi.
Hello, how you doing, Polly?
Good, how are you?
Very good.
Good, thanks for coming all the way to the Rock. Where do you live?
I don't live very far. I live in Los Feliz now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So on your email and everything, it's called, is it Sunny Suicide?
My burlesque stage name for years has always been Miss Sunny Holiday.
Uh-huh.
But with Suicide Girls, everyone becomes Suicide. Wow. So that anything associated with Suicide Girls, I immediately go to Sunny Suicide.
So when there's suicides that happen in life, and does it come up to you or no?
No, absolutely not.
How do you become a suicide
girl? I've gotten
girl?
Critiques on my Instagram name. People are like, Sunny Suicide, that's not funny. I'm like, it's not supposed to be funny. It's about social suicide.
Oh, social suicide. What does that mean?
You know, basically the same code, honestly, I think a lot of people live by, which is not giving a fuck what other people think. And committing social suicide, really like breaking away from the norm. So.
Because... Suicide Girls. Who's tell me the lady in charge of the whole thing? What's her name?
Missy.
Missy. Yeah.
Yeah. Missy.
Tell her what's up. Yo, Missy. What's up? Thank you for having me.
Missy,
have
I love you.
Have one of your little Suicide Girls here with us.
Missy's the best. She's awesome. She's really rad. She created Suicide Girls about 13 years ago. It started off with her just taking pictures of her beautiful friends who are alternative women who and she would take these nude pictures of them and wanted a place to put them. Mm. And then with doing that, she ended up creating a blog and along with the pictures, which was not really done yet. There wasn't really like MySpace didn't, I don't even think, I can't remember when that took off, but it was, nothing had really taken off yet like that. So it was very unique. And obviously at the time, tattooed and pierced alternative models were definitely more alternative at that time. Alternative was not mainstream. Mm. So it was definitely something different and it gave people a place for that.
So it's like accepting of the nerds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
We're right? Nerd Central. We love it.
Yeah.
And it's all these, like, hot chicks who like nerdy things and are passionate about it.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Ari, you're into Suicide Girls.
Yes.
What do you think about the whole kind of Suicide Girl movement?
I think it's really cool. I mean, before Suicide Girls, there wasn't really a place for those type of hot girls in mainstream media. It was just Playboy and Hustler, and it's just a whole different vibe for that kind of underground culture of people who are into tattoos and piercings and different looks. So I think it's a really cool thing.
Is it like a Hell's Angels gang type thing? Is it like a Do you guys all meet?
It's like
stuff?
It's like, basically like the largest female sorority in the world. Wow. If you think like it's pretty, it's I feel so thankful about it because in the last year and a half, now I know I can go anywhere in the world and just, you know, show up and sit, call up local Suicide Girls and they'll know who I am and they'll invite me over. And like I tell girls all the time, if you're, you know, when I was in New York, if you want to come over, let me know anytime. If you're in LA, come over anytime. And this is one big sorority of awesome girls.
so it's mostly women. Is there any suicide guys or no?
We have groups on our page, and there is a suicide boys group, but we don't have like a suicide boys website or anything like that. But there's definitely a group that boys have started up regarding it.
And so mostly you guys are models.
Yeah, it's all the suicide girls are alternative pinup models, and
kind of like Betty Boop.
Yeah, like Betty Page.
Hey, Hannah, do you know Betty Boop and Betty Page?
I know Betty Boop.
What is Betty Boop?
She's like the hot, like, tattooed, isn't she a mouse?
Betty Boop is like, she was a cartoon character.
Yeah, she's a cartoon.
And she's always like cute, sexy. She has like the short hair and little tiny dresses. She was like super risque for her time. And now you see a lot of, like, she's kind of like that Marilyn cartoon almost, but with dark hair, so she's kind of a little vixen. I still have Betty Boop cartoons that I watch like on a VHS.
Right.
Because they're sexy. And now I didn't realize that when I was younger.
But the name Suicide Girl, that's just for like I don't give a fuck type attitude, or is that like
no, it's just more it's just all about being yourself. It's being very yourself. Like feministic, like kind of, you know, it's just obviously like I said, when it first came out, it was just like a punch in the face to like Seti just being like, whoa, there's a place for all these girls to just be naked and, you know, be
they're
different.
Naked? Are they naked?
Our website is a nude website.
Oh, it is. So are there nude pictures of you on it?
There sure are.
Ari, can you look that up? How do we
already did. Already did.
You did?
Oh yeah. As soon as you told me she was on, I've seen her naked on the internet.
How did she look?
Don't lie.
Amazing.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So can you tell us the?
I mean, they don't let ugly girls on that site, from what I can see. Yeah, every girl on that site is very beautiful.
Well, and the really cool thing about the site is that I like the way they shoot the sets. They shoot these sets of these girls undressing, and everything is about like natural lighting and natural makeup. They don't like girls to look too unnatural and like overdo it. It's all about everything that you love about women, like in their natural state, like in their beds, like wearing a t-shirt or, you know.
I have a question. Like, it's all about being yourself, but you have to be hot and have a good body. Like,
that's not true.
Let her say something. What if Hannah wants to be a suicide
girl?
You're super hot. I think you should do it.
But she doesn't have tattoos and she's never posed naked.
I have one tattoo. Like,
you do?
On my foot.
Whoa, where's your tattoo?
On my foot.
That's
I like it. But I think it's not about, you have to be hot. It's that whole idea of what, like, when you say that, and that, like, it sounds like what society wants hot to be. And that's not what we're about. We're about just, if there's like a confidence that comes out in these photographs that, you know, women find like their what makes them feel hot. And that's why Missy started it.
And how does someone become a suicidal? For instance, if Hannah...
What can I do to become a suicidal?
Ooh, okay. You go on suicidegirls.com and you sign up for a membership and you apply to be a Suicide Girl hopeful. And then we have a bunch of hopefuls. We have over like 2,700 hopefuls on there. And then there's just like a weeding process, and it just has to do with how active you are on the site, like how much you post photo sets with our staff photographers, and then our members of the site like it and comment on it, and if it's within like what the community really likes, then
so it's like being in a sorority.
It is, yeah. It's pretty cool, but it's pretty neat, because even the hopefuls like get a page to it's almost, you know, like being a Suicide Girl, like they're already on the site, they're getting love from fans. There's a lot of hopefuls that have a lot of fans too, so yeah.
Well, just don't commit suicide.
No,
that's the main thing. So thanks for sitting in with us.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks guys. Yeah. Man. So, Hannah, are you going to be a Suicide Girl?
I think I'm too self-conscious for that. Yeah. I'm not confident like to just like get naked.
Yeah.
But
did you know she was a lesbian? I mean, did
no,
she
but that doesn't really surprise me. I think she was after me. I could feel it.
I was gonna say the same thing. I felt a weird thing because she had a fiance, but she was definitely a little flirty with you. So hopefully her fiance doesn't listen.
Me, I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
What did her text
well,
say?
Well, she asked for your number.
Maybe she. Oh man. Right. Anyways, I want to thank the Suicide Girls, the team. I would say Team Suicide.
No, don't say Team Suicide.
Why?
Because that sounds like
They're gonna kill themselves.
Yeah, and it's don't be Team Suicide. It's Suicide Girls. There's a difference.
And it's the whole movement, the Suicide Girl.
It's like
movement.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. The Team Suicide movement. I want to thank Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring. I want to thank the band The Offspring. What do you think? All right.
Like I said earlier, it was so cool. I learned a lot about The Offspring, which I listened to a lot as a kid. I got to meet a hot girl, got to hang out with Pauly Shore. That was a fun day and a fun podcast.
Yeah, so thank you guys. I want to thank Nick Adler, Cisco. I want to thank all the Roxy. Can I say Team Roxy or no? Yeah, Team Roxy is cool. All right. I want to thank you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. Follow me on my Twitter, which is at Pauly Shore. Also, my website, PaulyShore.com. Thank you guys. And again, big hugs to the people at the Roxy. Thank you for letting us record here. Yo, thank you guys. We love you guys. And we'll see you out there on the Sunset Strip, motherfuckers. Peace. Bye.